Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to Get in the Zone. There is no escape on the SNS Radio Network.
Do you know who I am?
The Bronx Bobby.
You put this company in a very difficult position.
Five, four, three, two, one.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Get in the Zone. I am the Bronx Father. Had a really interesting afternoon today. Got home from work, decided to do my show prep, and it seems like the curse that has been purveying throughout the SNS Radio Network, or gremlins, as JJ suggests it might be, seems to have affected me, because I did a bunch of driver updates last night, and I got home, and my audio levels were about 10 times lower than they should be. So I spent about an hour readjusting everything. Hopefully you guys hear me fine. The archive will be fine. But interesting two nights of wrestling. Last night, of course, being TNA. Oh, you know, we're going to break down what happened on TNA, and then I'm going to give some thoughts, before moving on to SmackDown, because what I saw last night, I don't know if I'm the only one who had a problem with this. I've saw mixed reactions today, but you know what? The hell with it. Let's get right into it and talk about what happened on Impact last night.
5 seconds to Impact. 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so we start off with Magnus saying that he can't believe he lost last week. Rude says the only one he has to blame is himself, and he gets attacked by Ego, Kaz, Daniels, and Rude. We find out AJ will go face-to-face with Dixie Carter tonight. Magnus gets in the ring and says he's in pain. He can't even chew his food since last week. Magnus wishes AJ all the best at Bound for Glory. But three individuals decided to insert themselves into that match that he had last week. Ego jumped him in the back now, too, just before the show started. Magnus doesn't have the family with him, but anyone of Ego that has the balls come down and face him one-on-one. Kazarian comes down, but of course, all of Ego ends up jumping Magnus. The Mafia comes out to help. Ego powders out of the ring. Sting says he wants a six-man tag tonight between the main event Mafia and Ego, and it's accepted. Chris Sabin says in the back that he's a big fan of Manic and wishes Manic the best of luck tonight against his match with Jeff Hardy, which was a decent match, which saw Chris Sabin sitting at ringside. Hardy wins with the Swanton, but after the match, Chris Sabin, who is apparently now for absolutely no reason on the fucking planet, a heel. And after he attacks Manic, he growls. And he says he attacked Manic because no one respects him, especially the fans. Okay. Mickey James versus ODB for the Knockouts title. It was a good back and forth Knockouts match. The girls exchange shots. Mickey gets a kick to the face on ODB, but eventually ODB gets the win, and we have a new Knockouts champion, ODB, which I'm perfectly fine with up until now, where Joseph Parks and Eric Young come out to celebrate with ODB, and the douchebag patrol, consisting of Robbie E. and Jesse, come out and say Joseph Park is a loser. And this is a creepy three-way in the ring. Park says, "Who do you think you are, talking shit on ODB and making fun of the Institute of Marriage between ODB and Eric Young? You insult all the fans by wearing those stupid outfits." Joseph says if he didn't have a suit on, he'd kick Robbie E's ass. But Eric Young says, "Hey, I'm not wearing a suit." So this leads to a match, Robbie E versus Eric Young. Eric Young wins in approximately 10 seconds. Robbie E says that wasn't a match. He wasn't ready. I wanted Joseph Park, not you. This match didn't count. So now we have... This isn't a mistake on my part. This will fucking happen. Joseph Park versus Robbie E. Why? Again, I don't know. Park beats Robbie E in about a freaking second. Robbie E. and Jesse attack both Joseph Park and Eric Young after the match, but when Joseph Park gets busted open, he finds his inner abyss and takes out both men. There is no medical update on Mr. Anderson at this time. Hulk Hogan tells Dixie Carter he'll go out with her if she wants, and Dixie says, "Nah, I got this." Bully Ray comes out, says, "Where's Anderson?" He calls the fans stupid. "Do you know who I am?" In case you didn't understand that, it's "Do you know who I am?" Well, he's Bully Ray. He's the world champion and the president of Aces and Eights, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. He needs to thank someone for his victory last week. The reason he's still world champ is because of Brooke Tessmacher. He has so much love for Brooke for hitting Mr. Anderson in the nuts. And the rest of Aces and Eights don't look that happy. Wes Briscoe says, "Her again?" Bully tells Wes, "Don't ever even look at my girl." Bischoff says, "Since Brooke came along, Bully's judgments have been bad." Bully says, "Don't ever bow up to me again," whatever the fuck that means. "I made you." And now, all of a sudden, Nux, yes, Nux, actually cuts a halfway decent promo. He says, "Bully Ray, you got a big mouth, and I'll be more than happy to shut it up for you. I've been here since day one, keeping that belt within the group. You notice how we started off with about 24 members, and now we're down to 4? What does that say about your leadership?" Nux says, "The first rule is bros before hoes." Bully Ray pushes Nux, and Bully says if Nux ever steps out of line again or calls his girlfriend a hoe, Bully will knock his head off. The crowd starts with hoe chants. Now, why didn't Nux knock his fucking head off? 3-1? Now we move on to the next nonsensical thing of the night, and I don't get this. Maybe somebody can please help me. Chavo and Hernandez are supposed to go up against James Storm and Gunner, but Chavo says he's a little injured and not medically clear. But Gunner says, "I came to fight. What about you, Hernandez? You're fine." So James Storm says, "I'll just sit back here and watch, drink a few beers while you guys kick each other's ass." This leads to Hernandez versus Gunner. Chavo keeps talking shit. And I mean, I just don't, I don't know. I don't understand why all of a sudden is fucking Chavo a heel? Why? I don't get it. These two guys are over like Rover. It just doesn't make sense. We have Ego versus Magnus, Joe, and Sting. Sting tries to tag out, but the ref doesn't see it. During this match, Sting takes the brunt of the beating as Ego isolates him, basically. He gets on a Scorpion Deathlock, but Rude uses the baseball bat on Magnus. Now, let me explain what happens. While Sting has the Scorpion Deathlock on, Magnus notices that Rude is about to come up from behind and take the shot, and take a shot at Sting, and Magnus throws himself in the way. And Robert Roode gets the pin. So Ego wins against the Main Event Mafia. Now we get to the biggest part of the night. AJ Styles says he's been here since day one, busting his ass, making this an alternative for you to watch. Dixie Carter's daddy bought her a wrestling company. She has no blood, sweat, or experience in wrestling. And the problem is, she broke up the chemistry that made TNA what it was. Dixie had stars in her eyes, but what happened to Jerry Lynn? Low key. The X Division. She paid stars to come to TNA and do nothing but go back where they belong. MMA fighters. Where's Alex Shelley? Jay Lethal? Petey Williams? Dixie's biggest mistake is staring her in the face. AJ says he doesn't have a contract. I'm going to have more on this later. And Dixie made a mistake giving him a title shot. No contracted wrestlers have any respect for Dixie anyway. AJ's going to win the title. And this is when Dixie Carter comes out. Dixie starts basically crying and says she's known AJ for a long time. And for him to come out and say these terrible things and know that he means them is really hurtful. And she says she's sorry. Dixie's accountable to everyone and she owes AJ an apology. She's sorry. She's sorry that she allowed AJ to think he's a part of this company. AJ's only a little better than a fish in any pond and it's all an illusion for him. An illusion she created, a marketing gimmick, which is AJ Styles. Everything AJ has done has been subpar, and AJ's nothing like he used to be. Maybe now she and AJ are more on the same page. Without her daddy's paycheck, AJ would still be in the trailer. Dixie says, I built this house, and before AJ can respond, she cuts off his microphone. And that is how we end Impact Wrestling. Now, question. Does any of this seem familiar? I'll give everyone a second. Does any of this seem familiar? This is TNA going back to the old model that we all used to bitch about, which is trying to do things that the fucking WWE is doing. What I took from last night was a very definite and conclusive parallel between WWE storylines and TNA storylines. Let me explain. They're trying to make AJ Styles to be like CM Punk. It doesn't work. AJ does not have 1/2 billionth the mic skills that CM Punk has. Dixie Carter is horrible on the microphone. If they honestly think that fucking Dixie Carter is going to rival a Triple H or a Vince McMahon or even a Stephanie McMahon on the microphone, if they honestly think that she's going to be able to play this heel character, it doesn't make it's stupid. It's once again copying something the WWE is doing because for whatever reason, you can't come up with your own shit. Aces and Eights, Nux talking all that shit to Bully Ray. didn't do a damn thing about it. Okay? Chavo and Hernandez, especially Chavo, not so much Hernandez, but fucking Chavo, all of a sudden becoming the heel. Impact, I read before the show, did something, I believe, like a 1.04, which was worse than they did last week. Now, I don't give a shit that much about ratings, but last night's show, letter grade, what the fuck? It gets three letters, WTF. What the fuck? Now, a couple things that don't make sense. The main one being AJ Styles says, well, I'm working here without a contract. When I get up every morning, I don't head to McDonald's to start flipping burgers. You know why? Because I don't fucking work there. I'd probably be arrested if I just went into a McDonald's and said, oh, I'm going to start flipping burgers. Why the fuck are you there if you don't have a contract? Why would Dixie, who is being a proverbial bitch now, give you any type of handshake agreement? She shit all over you last night. It doesn't make sense. Not only doesn't it make sense, but again, AJ, okay, if it wasn't a CM Punk ripoff, I like the promo. He's not the best promo guy in the world, but he made a lot of points that probably made the TNA marks and the IWC go apeshit nuts. But Dixie coming out, pretending to cry, and now today, even on Twitter and Facebook, I was following this today, she's being like a bitch. Now she's even selling it on Twitter. As a matter of fact, AJ Styles made a comment last night, well, why don't you go out and tweet about what happened? You seem to be really good at that. Come up with your own fucking shit. Really, come up with something original. What are the bases for the storylines we fucking have right now? Aces and Eights doesn't seem like they give a shit about the Mafia anymore. They're too busy fighting amongst themselves. The Mafia now seems to be feuding with fucking Ego. What the fuck is going on? I finished last night's show and I'm like, I think I'm getting a fucking aneurysm. What exactly are they doing? Bound for Glory is less than a month away. I'm going to bet you right now. And remember where you heard it. They're going to do a screw job that is almost exactly the same to the way Daniel Bryan got screwed at Night of Champions. You guys mock my fucking words. They're going to do it. Dixie is going to somehow fuck him out of that title because if it's good for the WWE, it's good for us. Never mind trying to come up with something original. Let's just rehash something WWE did about a year or two ago in the CM Punk storyline and what they're doing now with the administration. Last night, to me, was just... It fucking sucked, all right? Let me stop trying to be nice because I'm really not in a nice mood tonight. It fucking sucked. There you have it. That's my opinion. I don't know where they're going. If this shit keeps up with Dixie and AJ, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if I want to fucking cover Bound for Glory because I have no invested interest in this at all. But let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of WWE talk and some SmackDown that we saw earlier tonight, which was a rather interesting show. Not the best SmackDown I've seen in a few weeks that I've been covering it, but still... not bad at all. So with that said, let's break it down.
Yeah. Y'all know what it is. Sometimes you gotta push through all your obstacles, know what I mean? No matter what the options are, there is no lose, there is no fail. Let's go.
The sky turns black, it don't matter.
And now it's time for the SmackDown Breakdown, where I
layeth the smacketh down on your candy ass.
Only on Get in the Zone.
Okay, SmackDown is from Cincinnati, Ohio. And we start off with an interview that was conducted by Michael Cole on Triple H. And Triple H says, you know, everyone's talking about me, but what would you do if one of your trusted referees was involved in a conspiracy? If I really wanted to, I could fire Daniel Bryan. And then what I thought was cool was he brings up Pete Rose. He said, Pete Rose got busted for gambling on baseball, but what if it had been proved he was in cahoots with an umpire and threw some games? Triple H says, no matter what, I'll get to the bottom of this. And then we see a video package of all the baby faces coming out to save Daniel Bryan on Raw. Vicky Guerrero comes out, and she says she has the most entertaining show for us tonight. She wants to introduce the laughing stock of the WWE, Daniel Bryan. She talks about people who've held the title for hundreds and hundreds of days, and she makes fun of Daniel Bryan's short title runs, one being a few minutes, of course, one being a few hours. When Bryan finally does come out, Bryan says, I'd much rather be champion for one day than a corporate suck up my entire life like you. Vicky tells him, why don't you just come clean and tell us what you did? And Daniel Bryan says, I didn't do anything wrong. The truth is, I need Randy Orton in the face, and the ref could have counted a 20, he was knocked the hell out. Daniel Bryan has no idea why Armstrong did what he did, but I should still be the champ. Vicky says he's a liar, and even though Triple H may have given him a title match at Battleground against Randy Orton to determine the new champion for the vacant title, she would have fired him. Daniel Bryan said everyone should be grateful Vicky doesn't have real power. And she talks about the 10 superstars who saved Daniel Bryan. She says Daniel Bryan and these 10 superstars will be eliminated tonight. And of course she's talking about Dolph Ziggler, The Usos, R-Truth, Justin Gabriel, Zack Ryder, the Primetime Players, Kofi Kingston, and Rob Van Dam, who all came out to beat down the Shield and help Daniel Bryan. All of you are going to get eliminated. It's going to be an 11-on-3 handicapped gauntlet match. All three of the Shield will be in the ring at once, but all the 10 guys I just mentioned and Daniel Bryan will all come out one by one, and the Shield has to eliminate them one by one. So this is your punishment for Monday night, but things get deeper. AJ Lee cuts a promo, says she'll beat every member of Total Divas, and she has a non-title match against Naomi. Natalya's on commentary, and AJ wins with that brutal move, the Black Widow. Good match. And at the end, AJ has a stare down with Natalya. The Real Americans come out. Zeb Coulter talks shit on Santino, asks if he swam over here. Typical shit. How did you get in the country? So it's Santino against Jack Swagger, and Swagger gets offense in early. Jack talks a lot of shit during the match about go home, you can't beat me. A few we the people chants in the crowd, which is really interesting that some people are actually embracing this. And with a backslide, Santino Marella gets the win. I don't know, since Santino's came back, he's been winning. And without the Cobra, which is really interesting. Now, backstage, Curtis Axel is wheeling Paul Heyman in his wheelchair with Ryback. This is before we go to commercial break. Look, guys, this is getting kind of creepy. If you didn't see SmackDown, I suggest you find a way to do it, because maybe I'll even see if I can get a screen cap later and put it on the SNS page. Paul Heyman is looking at Ryback the way you look after the way you look at your girlfriend after you've come back from spending 6 months in the freaking army. If you don't get that reference, it's getting kind of creepy, guys. Ryback is going to be fighting Nick Nardone. Now, I don't know if this is an indie guy that some of you know who he is. I have no fucking clue who it is. Heyman says now he's the best in the world. But CM Punk did give him all he could handle at Night of Champions. And on Sunday, he was the man, not CM Punk. But he couldn't have done it without Ryback. Ryback says Heyman doesn't deserve to be picked on, and he can't stand a bully. Heyman told Ryback, Ryback says that Nardone, this guy in the ring, refused to sign a kid's autograph and then intimidated that same kid in the parking lot. Why anyone would want this guy's autograph, I don't know. Ryback says what he's about to do to this guy is what he's going to do to CM Punk. He squashes Mr. Nardone for the win. Randy Orton comes to the ring and cuts what I thought was a really good promo. He said at Night of Champions, Daniel Bryan and Armstrong succeeded in stealing his title from him. But Orton says, you know what? It was my fault. 100% my fault, because I never should have been in that position. I've been suppressing who I really am. He says he even went to anger management and locked away the Viper of old because he thought that's what the fans wanted. But Steph and Triple H finally allowed him to see who he really should be. He made an example of Miz in Cleveland by destroying him in front of his parents. And Orton says, let that stand as a warning to anyone who gets in my way. Orton is looking to massacre Daniel Bryan at Battleground, and he'll end it once and for all. He promises to once again be your WWE champ, and then says, no, wait a minute, I'm going to be my WWE champ. Good promo by Randy. Shield comes out to get ready for their match. Darren Young is out first. Excuse me. Young is out quick via a spear by Roman Reigns. Titus O'Neil is out next. Titus gets eliminated via the triple powerbomb. Next is Dolph Ziggler. Dolph actually fights back pretty well, gets in some offense. But on the outside, Dolph Ziggler gets speared into the 23rd century by Roman Reigns against the barricade, and he's counted out. Next, we have Kofi Kingston. Kofi starts out strong, actually hits the Trouble in Paradise to Roman Reigns. He goes for the pin, but the Shield stops it, and Dean Ambrose ends up pinning Kofi Kingston. Rob Van Dam comes out next. Roman Reigns is still selling the Trouble in Paradise. RVD's doing pretty well for himself. He goes for the 5-star frog splash, but Triple H interrupts, causing RVD to get dumped off the top. Triple H says, end this match. End it right freaking now. And he tells Vicky, shut this down and get in my office. And in his office, he's yelling at Vicky. He said, what she did tonight was bad. This is how it starts. You start with 10 guys, and then you get 10 more, and then 10 more, and then 10 more. Vicky says she thought it was best for business, but Triple H says what's best for business is to give all these guys fair matches. In fact, he makes a match for tonight, The Shield in a 6-man versus the Usos and Daniel Bryan. We see the scene from Monday Night Raw where Dusty Rhodes gets KO'd. Triple H is seen apologizing to Zack Ryder and Justin Gabriel for the gauntlet match. Ryder says they want fair competition, and Triple H says, okay, you'll get it. Well, the fair competition is the Wyatts, Harper and Rowan versus Ryder and Gabriel. The Wyatts win quickly, of course, and then Bray, after the match, hits Sister Abigail on Ryder. Bray says, if they keep lining them up for us, we'll knock them down. All for you, Abigail. Triple H checks on RVD in the back. The doctors say he's sore, but he'll be okay. And Triple H says, you know what? To make it up to you, I'm going to give you a rematch for the world title against Alberto Del Rio at Battleground. The moment Triple H walks out of the room, Del Rio attacks RVD in the back, beats the living shit out of him, and RVD's left lying unconscious while the refs try to revive him. Alberto Del Rio versus R-Truth. During this match, Michael Cole says that he's really suspicious of what just happened, how freaking RVD gets attacked by ADR as soon as Triple H makes the match. In this match versus R-Truth, Alberto Del Rio gets the win. Daniel Bryan and the Usos versus The Shield. And this was actually pretty good back and forth. Decent way to end SmackDown. During the match, Randy Orton tries to attack Daniel Bryan from behind, but Bryan ends up getting the upper hand for the win. And all the baby faces celebrate at the end of SmackDown. As a matter of fact, JBL makes the comment, well, once again, Daniel Bryan is happy. So they've been putting over Daniel Bryan, on SmackDown at least, for the last couple weeks. I thought it was a good show. Again, it's just a continuation of Raw. You can't sit down and look at it as really a show unto itself. It's the same storylines. There's nothing that separates the brands anymore. But it was still a decent show. At first, I thought we weren't going to see Triple H at all. I thought it was just going to be Vicky, who still, after all these years, has some of the best heel heat in the fucking company. It just doesn't go away. That bitch is one of the most hated women in the fucking business, and you gotta love her for it. So, we have two matches definite now for Battleground. It'll be Randy Orton against Daniel Bryan yet again, and it will also be RVD versus Alberto Del Rio. So, Battleground is starting to build up. Be interesting to see. Triple H is playing this really smart. He's trying to make you think that he's on the side of these guys. He says he doesn't really want to punish them because all it's going to do is piss them off more. But again, there were just too many coincidences all at once last night. You know, he leaves, RVD gets fucked up. It, to me, is him just being a corporate prick and being really smart. And I'm liking the character, the way it's progressing. Good SmackDown. So now we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to come back with a little bit of news, open the phone lines, and I'm going to review an animated movie that I saw the other night. It's not available yet here in the U.S., but, well, if you know how to, you can see it. And I know there are some Dragon Ball Z fans. I know Sandro's a fan. I know Anthony Farley's definitely a fan. And I decided to do a little something different and review this movie. So don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back with more Get in the Zone right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Gentlemen, SNS Unplugged has returned to the airwaves. You can check out the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as they discuss the happenings from Monday Night Raw, NXT, the latest news of the week, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. And then things get a little interesting as the topics could change from week to week, including topics such as the supernatural, conspiracy theories. Basically, whatever the hell these guys want to talk about, they're going to cover it every Tuesday night right here on the SNS Radio Network. SNS Unplugged is back, baby. Uncensored. Unbelievable. Unplugged.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old-school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time!
It's Hey guys, this is Ashley.
And this is Sandro.
And we're here to make sure that you check out the whole indie show each week on the SNS Radio Network, as both of us, along with our other co-host Randy, cover everything that you need to know on all things indie wrestling.
It's your place for all the most recent indie news and event results, reviews of the latest shows from all the major promotions, and previews for all the upcoming events. We also want your feedback on any indie stuff you may have seen as well.
Plus, you know, you never know, you might even get a few paperclip references now and then. So for all that and much more, listen to the whole indie show every week here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest-running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years, and just like Wrestling News Live, it's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com. Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. Just a reminder for you to listen to Sunday Night Showdown every pay-per-view Sunday, as I'll be joined by my broadcast partner, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, Harmony Boom Boom Jackson, and Mark the Shark DiCarlo, as we provide the best pay-per-view coverage of the WWE. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, every pay-per-view Sunday. Sunday Night Showdown, your home for WWE pay-per-view coverage.
To get in the zone with the Bronx Father on the SNS Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Get in the Zone. We're right here live on the SNS Radio Network. And before I open the phone lines, I want to get just a little bit of news out of the way. This one will be very interesting to some of you. If you're in this area and you want to go, WrestleMania 30 tickets will be on sale Saturday, November 16th. September 20th, 2013, it was reported that tickets for WrestleMania 30 will go on sale Saturday, November 16th. Now, this is interesting, at 11 a.m. because usually here at Ticketmaster, it's 10 a.m. That's kind of weird. Maybe they changed it. The Pop Culture Extravaganza will take place Sunday, April 6, 2014, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Now, here we go. Check this out, guys. Ticket prices range from $25, that quite frankly shocked me, to $850. There will also be a limited number of Gold Circle VIP packages available for the very, very reasonable sum of only $2,000. The Gold Circle packages include seating in the first four rows ringside, a Gold Circle VIP stadium entrance, a collectible WrestleMania 30 ticket holder, and the commemorative WrestleMania 30 take-home folding chair. Tickets can be purchased through all Ticketmaster outlets. Wow, $2,000. Let's see, for a chair, front row. Doesn't say anything here about hotel or flight or anything. So that's $2,000 just to be able to sit up front, which, I don't know. If you've got the money to blow, hey, if I was rich, yeah, I'd probably fly out there and get to keep a chair and be treated like a VIP. But WrestleMania 30, the info's out there. It's going to happen. And can't wait. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, I read this this week. Everybody's going nuts saying it's going to be Daniel Bryan against CM Punk. That's interesting. I'm wondering if this corporate storyline will still be in place by WrestleMania 30. The way it's been moving along lately, I kind of think not. This made me really happy. WWE hires a former star as a trainer. WWE recently rehired Nick Dinsmore, who you guys may remember as Eugene, to be a trainer at their performance center. PW Insider is saying he's scheduled to report to Orlando for the new position sometime in the next 2 weeks. It's also being reported that WWE might be looking to hire more trainers soon. You know, Nick Dinsmore was always a guy who I feel got fucked. He got a really raw deal, really talented guy. He got cast as someone who was retarded. I know a lot of people don't like that word. It's the only one I can come up with. I'm not politically correct. He was cast as being retarded, and I think it really hurt his career. But if he can get a paycheck being a trainer, that's fine with me. In our last story, a little sad, WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan said that he needs a number of surgeries. He says, I'm pretty tore up physically. I got a knee replacement coming up. I tore a rotator cuff a month ago. I got a torn pec and a torn bicep. Jesus, dude. He says he can usually protect himself pretty well out there, but he knows he's limited. He says, that's what I tell a lot of young guys. Obviously, it's not just a physical business because I have very few physical attributes that I had 20 years ago, but I can entertain a crowd. It's more than just taking bumps. So, I mean, I wish Hacksaw the best of luck. Yeah, he's made some mistakes in his career. How many of the boys who were around back when he was haven't? So, ho, Hacksaw, I hope you're all right, man. That's a damn shame, but you know, it's been mentioned before on this network. Trey mentioned it a few times. JJ, we've all mentioned it. How sometimes these guys start getting a little bit older, man, and they just don't have anything else to fall back on. You know, you've been wrestling your whole life. That's all you know. That's the only thing you have going for you. So in order to keep bread and butter on the table, you keep doing it, and you probably keep doing it way longer than your body should be doing it. And man, that's a shame. Hope Hacksaw is going to be okay. Now I'm going to do something that I've never done on this show before. I generally don't review movies, but one thing I've shared on this network in the past few months is I've learned that, like me, there are quite a few Dragon Ball Z fans out there. I know for a fact Anthony's a fan, Sandro's a fan, and I know Mindwipe is a fan because I've talked to him about it. Well, I got the opportunity to see the new Dragon Ball movie, Battle of Gods, this last week. Now, a couple problems with this. The movie has not been dubbed into English yet, so the copy I saw was Japanese with English subs, and the person who translated the Japanese into English apparently only speaks Swahili, because the subtitles were just fucking terrible. But I was able to make it out. In this movie, the proverbial John Cena's of the universe, the Saiyans, don't exactly have it their way. What happens is, and I'm gonna try not to accidentally give out any spoilers, the God of Destruction, whose name is just simply Bill, wakes up from a multiple year slumber. Now, Bill's job is to balance things out in the universe. You know, planets are born, people are born, but you have to have some planets destroyed too, and that's Bill's job. Bill is very, very powerful. Bill makes Frieza and Cell look like fucking chumps. As a matter of fact, when he wakes up, he says, what should I do first? I think I'll go kill Frieza. You know, the same way you or I would talk about stepping on an ant. In any event, Goku's on King Kai's planet, training. Why, I don't know. But he finds out that Bill has woken up, and of course Goku, being the fucking idiot he is, wants to immediately fight him, where King Kai says, you don't know what you're getting into. To summarize, Bill does show up with his master, whose name I can't remember right now, and beats the shit. He makes Goku his bitch. A beating isn't a word. Goku at the end of this fight is Bill's bitch. Bill ends up going to planet Earth. Now, this is the part where the movie gets kind of stupid. And this is what I don't like about Dragon Ball movies. There's a little too much humor. He starts partying all the time. In the back of his mind, his thoughts are destroying the Earth. It all ends with he and Bill having an epic fight. Goku reaching a new level of Super Saiyan, which is called Super Saiyan God, which is lame as shit. And I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but the Saiyans don't actually win this time. It was a good movie. When it comes out in English on DVD, I'll probably buy it to add to my collection. Definitely not one of the best Dragon Ball movies they've made. I would say it's decent. I mean, it's not very bloody, not very gory, which means that Funimation will not rape and murder it before they transfer it to DVD with all the fucking editing they do. Fuck Funimation, I hate that company. But now I'm going to turn the show over to you guys. Open up the phone lines, 501-588-7957. Once again, 501-588-7957. Add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype. If you want to drop me an email, snsgetinthezone@gmail.com. Again, snsgetinthezone@gmail.com. Let's backtrack what we went over tonight. You know, I talked about TNA before. You know, every time I come on this show and have to talk negative about TNA, because I have to call it the way I see it, I always worry that I'm going to be labeled one of those guys who just hates to hate. But I'm not. I mean, again, you know, getting back to AJ's promo, I want to reiterate, he said all the things that the hardcore, diehard TNA fans have been saying throughout the years. And I bet a lot of TNA fans thanked him for it. But the problem I have here is Dixie just can't get it done. She comes off as being so coached and so scripted. She didn't play a bad victim. When Hogan and Bischoff were taking over the company and she had gotten kicked out of power, she didn't do too terrible a part playing the victim, but I don't see her as the heel. I just can't picture Dixie Carter as being this bitch who's going to come out every week and screw people over, if that's where they're going. Now, I'm not trying to put words in TNA's mouth here, but it just doesn't work for me. I mean, you know, the whole Aces and Eights thing. You know, Nux was really impressive last night as far as that promo. And what I don't understand, what I fail to understand, is why he didn't knock Bully Ray on his ass. I don't understand why all three of the guys don't knock Bully Ray on his ass. It just, you know, who the hell is he? Okay, he's got the belt, yes. But I mean, why would you stand there and be abused by this punk ass? He's done nothing for this group but bring it down, which is exactly what Nux said. He's brought the group down. In their glory, they had all these fucking members. Now we're down to like 3-4 guys. You know, and you want to say that this bitch who's been in the group, you know, Brooke Tesmacher for what, 2-3 weeks? Oh, she's the reason that, you know, everything is right with the world now in Aces and Eights? I mean, come on, that would piss me off. Caller, you're in the zone. Who's this?
It's Anthony.
What's up?
First off, I kind of agree with Team Nate. Yeah, I mean, the action's still okay, but overall the match, what they're trying to do with the programs, it's like, really, this is what you guys are trying to do?
Well, my problem is, I mean, it was like when WWE did that 2-21-11 promo, which we thought was for Sting, but was for The Undertaker. And then, what, 2-3 months later, when TNA did get Sting back, they went and cut their own 3:30 or 4:15 fucking promo. You know, stop trying to be successful by doing what the other company does.
Yeah, true. And when Nuff said there's only 4 members left, did he forget about Taz?
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I don't even think Taz is a member. I think Taz
is... He's not a commentator.
He's a fucking cheerleader, you know.
Oh, great. I'm picturing him now in the cheerleader outfit.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, God.
You know, he's just a cheerleader. He doesn't do shit but pass Bully Ray weapons.
And for SmackDown, I agree. It wasn't the best show, but I think it was a good way to continue from what they ended on Raw. And I'm hoping this doesn't lead to Vicky becoming a face or anything like that.
No, I don't think so. She generates too much heat.
Yeah, if any of the GMs is going to become a face, I think it should be Brad Maddox.
Oh, and I think he is. I think that's fixing to happen at some point down the road. Vicky, I think, is just too good at what she does. I don't think you could, unless they did... The only way I could see you turning her face, and this would be a real cheap shot and disrespectful, is something to have to do with Eddie. I think only his memory could turn that bitch baby face, because the fans love to hate her, and she's good at what she does.
Yeah, you can just say, Daniel Bryan can say, so I'm not, quote, the face of the WWE, or can't be. Funny, some said that about your husband. And boom, they're going to have that, but I agree they should not bring up the whole Andy thing.
No, and they won't. I'm just saying the only thing I think you could do to change a bitch baby face would be to do that. But, you know, what I like about this is how Triple H isn't doing it the way Vince McMahon did it. I like the way he's pretending like he wants to make everyone happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. And for the whole Dragon Ball movie thing, In my opinion, those movies are, like, not really great. There's only a few that are even remotely watchable. And I remember reading a summary for that one. I was like, are you kidding me? We've been waiting for something new, and that's what we get?
Yeah, you and I talked about this a little bit last night, about how, you know, the Saiyans always have to win, you know, things like that.
It's John Cena, like you said.
Right, it's John Cena. You know, they find a way to fucking win. But I think you might be surprised if you watch this movie. And guys, JJ had mentioned this, just to segue for a minute. If you have figured out how to watch it, do not post it on the SNS Radio Network Facebook page, because you will get in big trouble. If you want to provide a way to see it, do it in private message. Fuck, you can hit me up in private message and I'll tell you how to see it. But keep it off. Keep any links off the SNS Radio Network Facebook page. But if you can see it, it's worth a watch. I mean, I wasn't thoroughly entertained, but it kept me occupied for 90 minutes.
Yeah, but you can look at a sun for probably a couple minutes and be entertained, but still.
You can't look at the sun, dumbass.
Yeah, shut up.
What?
What?
Bitch, first of all, I'm producing. Secondly, I'm fucking have control of Skype. I'll hang up on you, ban you from the chat room and the Facebook page. How does that sound?
Wow.
Tell me to shut up, bitch.
Kyle on the freaking chat box is always, rap battle. No, we suffered enough of that.
No, there ain't going to be any rap battles.
Hell no.
On Get On The Zone. Get On The Zone is white enough already with me on it. We don't need to add another white boy.
Yeah, I was like, but overall, I think SmackDown is proving better now. I remember people used to say, oh, it's like just a recap of Raw. It's doing better as its own kind of thing, but still, without the brand split, like now it's like, okay, it's just Raw 2.0.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, I've enjoyed, you know, I had gone a long time without watching SmackDown. And when I tried to decide what else could I do with this show to, you know, occupy some time and cover something that we weren't covering on the network, you know, I spoke with JJ and we were like, yeah, what about SmackDown? And
you want to cover the Jets football game?
No. That's okay. I'd rather cover Trey's Chiefs. At least they fucking win. But, I mean, it was like, you know, I'm enjoying watching it. I almost regret going a few years without really watching SmackDown because, overall, I think, you know, it's been a staple. It's been said for a while. The wrestling does tend to be better, and the storylines are good. I enjoyed that gauntlet match was going pretty good until Triple H came out and fucked it up.
Yeah, and that spear that Dolph Ziggler took, holy shit.
You know, I want to say this right now. Everybody who was saying that, you know, Roman Reigns was going to be the weakest out of the three as far as getting a push, he's a fucking savage, okay? I've really become a fan of Roman Reigns. The guy is an animal, and he's got that spear down. I mean, Goldberg don't even got shit on that spear. He speared fucking Dolph Ziggler into the concession stands.
And, the reason why I think probably he was going to go be the weakest link because he just recently debuted on NXT before they did the whole Shield thing. So I'm like, he's in it? Okay. Because I was okay with Ambrose and Rollins because I knew those guys before, but Reigns was just like recently debuted, so.
Well, he's doing a good job, man. I mean, he's got some great genes, you know, being related to The Rock and, you know, well, all the Samoans in wrestling are related to each other. It's like fucking, I don't know, but, I mean, he's good. He got a good look, and I think he's gotten better since he came into the Shield. You know, his moveset is better, and when you're a big, tough motherfucker like that, you really don't need to say much.
Yeah, look at the match he had with Brian on Raw. That match was excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the guy's really impressing me. I'm a fan of him. I've been a fan of The Shield since their debut. You know, it's funny. They're bad guys, but there's something about them that you like. I don't know what it is.
True. And for the rematch for the WWE title at Battleground, I remember some people are complaining that it's not going to be a possible War Games, which I admit somewhat sucks, but I'm okay with. If they make the WWE title match an Iron Man match, that can work. If we can see Orton try to blow up Daniel Bryan with a pyro.
You know, how long has it been since we've seen a good Iron Man match?
The one between Orton and Cena at Bragging Rights a couple years ago, I think.
Right, it's been a while. Yeah, I definitely didn't. We know Daniel Bryan can pull it off. Fucking Randy could pull it off. That's a good idea. Yeah, let those two motherfuckers kill each other for 60 minutes. Fuck it. You know what? Here's my deal. And here's why I like your idea even better. You've got two pay-per-views in fucking October. You can afford to blow 60 minutes on one of them to have an Iron Man match. And maybe some shit happens where we end up... Oh, God, who was it where it ended up a tie and they had to have a tiebreaker? I think it was Bret Hart.
Another one to a draw in the end was the one against Shawn and Bret, but that just went overtime because it was 0-0.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's the one. Right, Shawn and Bret. I think you could do that with Orton and Bryan and then maybe have some shenanigans afterwards. But, yeah, an Iron Man match might be the way to go. But the thing is, they haven't really announced what the gimmick for this Battlegrounds pay-per-view is. Thus far, there is none.
Yeah. And also, if they do a War Games match at Battleground, what the heck they're going to do at Hell in a Cell, which is supposed to be the last one they're going to do.
Oh, I hope so. You know,
Hell in a Cell should be like a finale to a feud.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I've been saying, because... You know, you and I have done everything we can to each other. It gets to the point where there's only one way to settle it. That's not just putting two guys in and then having two of them. You know, Hell in a Cell, there was a time where when The Undertaker or Triple H or Mick Foley mentioned those words, everyone was like, holy shit, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell. Now it's like, eh, because it's a whole pay-per-view. No, I agree. Do away with it. Go back to, you know, 12 a year is fine. We don't fucking need two pay-per-views in 1 month. We can't afford it, Vince. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping they kind of don't do have a crowning of a champion at the Battleground. Because if they have an NLC, fine. Just have a match between those two again. Final, just like the last match, or last encounter for at least a while.
Yeah, I hope so. You still there, Anthony?
Yeah. I'm just saying, if they do not crown a champion at Battleground, fine. Those two again, Hell in a Cell, like, and just put a stipulation. No matter what, this is the last time they're facing each other, at least for a while.
You could even have Triple H say, look, if, you know, Orton, if you can't get the job done at Hell in a Cell, sorry. We're going to find a new face for the WWE. I did enjoy Orton's promo on SmackDown tonight, though.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that means they're going to have, like, Miz coming back.
Well, Miz...
Because I think Miz is doing a movie or something, because I was watching the SummerSlam DVD, and they said that he was going to be doing his movie soon, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like the way that went down against his parents. You know, with his parents there, they sold like $1 million.
Not the father.
No, the father... Mom sold great. Dad was like... Eh, yeah, Miz told us before he was going to get his ass kicked and take some time off. Okay, I'm going to keep eating some popcorn. All right, man, I got another call. Anthony, thanks so much. I'm going to let you go. If you want to see that DBZ movie, hit me up.
And I'm probably going to not see it. The last one I saw that was real good was probably the Trunks one.
Oh, yeah, the one with Future Trunks? Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that one was pretty good.
All right, so I'll end my call. See ya.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Well, I had another caller on the line. He apparently got Skype and death dropped. Excuse me. Blah, 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 blah. So call back. I don't have any emails yet. I will wait for this caller to call back, hopefully. Talk to him, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. Yeah, I mean, he made some good points about Battleground and Hell in a Cell. But I believe, back on the line, guy I haven't spoken to in a little while, L-Train, what's going on, dude?
Hey, yo, Bronx Father, what's up, man? Calling, for the first time in a while. It's been quite a few weeks since I gotten to call into a show, even though I meant to call in on Unplugged Tuesday, but very nice to call in for the first time on Getting the Zone. Glad to have you on Fridays.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it very much. What's on your mind, man?
Well, a few subjects I want to talk about. Stuff from Raw, particularly, I believe you were just touching on the talent that Roman Reigns has been displaying, but definitely wanted to talk a little TNA. I didn't get to hear the start of the show, so I'll definitely be sure to catch up on Archive, but one would assume TNA isn't exactly one of your high points right now.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to stay positive. I don't want, you know, I hate when people say, oh, because you talk negative on it, you've turned your backs on them. No, I just tell it like it is. In my opinion, last night's Impact sucked ass. I have to be honest. It's the truth.
Hey, you're not getting any complaints from me. I mean, JJ brought up a point that has been nagging the hell out of me ever since they did it a few weeks ago. Look, being from over here in Cali, I know TJ Perkins a little bit. Not personally, but, like, you know, I've heard much praise for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it, and, you know, WWE's guilty a little bit of this too, but with TNA, why is it you would take somebody, put them under a gimmick that you've had sort of halfway established for a few years, then have him unmasked as it, then give him a name change and throw him right back under the freaking mask? I mean, when Rey Mysterio came to WWE in 2002, granted it had been about a year or so since he was in WCW, we know he was unmasked. We remember that. But there at least maybe was a 2-year gap between then. There wasn't even a month, I don't think, between when Perkins got unmasked and revealed as Suicide, then changed to Manic, and then threw him right back under the mask. And they're still playing it like we haven't seen his face, like we saw this past Thursday. They're showing the back of his head. Oh, people will definitely never be able to guess what he looks like.
Well, I mean, we already know who it is. I mean, it's not, I'm willing to bet that people who are fans of Lucha wrestling are probably just fucking going apeshit nuts, because the mask is a sacred thing. When Rey Mysterio got unmasked in WCW, it was huge. It was fucking, I remember I was at the edge of my seat. I was at Madison Square Garden when Kane finally got unmasked. And it was huge. I mean, it was fucking huge for me to be there live and be a part of it. And this, they've just, they ruined it.
I don't know. I got to be straight up. I'm curious about Bound for Glory this year. And not so much in a positive way, because, you know, it's coming back here to Cali. And the last time they had Bound for Glory in Cali, I was there live. But I'm wondering about the trend that they've had since 2010. I mean, I was reminiscing on seeing Bound for Glory 2009. I was on such a high with TNA. I thought that they were finally making those great moves. And then you flash forward to about 4 or 5 days later when they announced that Hogan had signed with TNA. All that enthusiasm, all that hype, all that energy I had been building with TNA, right out the freaking window when that happened. And the one trend that I've been seeing over the past few years is that they try to pull some kind of a swerve that they want to make you think, oh my God, this is some incredibly shocking shit. And it's just like, you know, it's you're left puzzled. I mean, 2010, we had the main event swerve where we knew, you know, probably somebody was going to be turning like Jarrett and Hogan and Bischoff, and all three of them wound up doing that. And with the main event of Angle versus RVD versus Hardy, you know, they try to make the thing that, you know, Jeff Hardy was the big turner. As JJ said many times, taking the biggest babyface in WWE at the time and then flipping him into a heel was a stupid move. 2011, the whole Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle thing, with Kurt Angle hurt and they have him retain only to lose it to Storm the next week. Now, I see why they did that, you know, to, you know, it helped Roode turn heel, but I thought they could have done that a lot better. It was just like, I couldn't believe that. And then last year, the big reveal of D-Von, reappearing in the company. I mean, you know, I know JJ loves using the term "who gives a fuck for 500." For that, I'd say "who gives a fuck for 2000" and throw a daily double on that bitch. I was just like, "What? Really? That was it?" It was, as you said before, like, you know, it was like a fart in church. Who, you? If you remember, even from the coverage, the crowd was chanting, "This is awkward." When a crowd is chanting that, you're kind of in trouble a little bit. So I'm just wondering what if there's going to be some kind of a, you know, quote unquote big swerve this year for Bound for Glory. Because obviously the biggest thing they're looking at for right now is Bully Ray versus AJ. And I'm just wondering what that's, if we're going to see some sort of play with this new thing they're trying with Dixie now.
Yeah, but again, it's a parallel in a lot of ways to what's going on in the WWE. And that's the problem that I have, is they've been guilty of this. Even when they were pretty good, they were guilty of this to some extent, of trying to take shit that WWE's doing and thinking it's going to work. Now, look, I don't know Dixie Carter personally. I don't have a bad thing to say about her because, look, what she does, it's her company, it's her toy. What she does with it is her business. I wouldn't sit here and say in real life she could be the nicest, sweetest person in the world. She's not a good actor. She's not trained in the skills of cutting a promo. And last night, the whole switch from crying to then being malicious, it doesn't, it's like, you know, if I was in the WWE and I heard Stephanie McMahon was pissed at me, I'd be worried. Because she's, you know, her character is so compelling that I'd be worried. If I heard Triple H was pissed at me, I'd be worried. Vince, oh, Dixie Carter's mad at you. So? She's not convincing in that role. The only time that she had a halfway decent role was, again, when she was playing the victim, when Hogan and Bischoff were bullying her and picking on her. That's believable. But her now, all of a sudden, as the sweet, Twitter princess who wants to tell us every day how much she loves us and thank you for watching TNA. It just doesn't fit. And it happened too quick. There was no gradual. When Vince McMahon transitioned from an announcer, let's do a little history. When he transitioned from an announcer to a full-fledged heel, first of all, what happened was the Montreal Screwjob, which was real life. Then the whole shit went down with Austin and Tyson, where Vince starts screaming, "You ruined it. You ruined my chances. I had the biggest draw," and it was gradual. All of a sudden, in one night, she goes from a princess to a bitch. I don't buy it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, someone like Stephanie, you know, where when she gets that wrath in her voice, like even when she saw with a heel like Orton on Monday, when she was all up in his face and just, you know, chastising him, you can hear that kind of that emotion that she can put into it. And, you know, just talking down Dusty and, you know, ordering Big Show to knock him out, like, with that, that's the kind of thing, like, you know, that's the heel of, you know, you just want to see someone pull a New Jack and just fucking punch her in the face or something like that. You want to see her get her comeuppance. With Dixie, seeing her trying to be a heel, she just reminds me of, like, you know, the nice old lady down the street that, you know, you make mad, but then you just want to, you know, offer cookies to as a peace offering or something like that. It was just something that didn't seem all that believable.
Neither Get in the Zone nor the SNS Radio Network condones punching a bitch in the eye. Just want to... See, I got to cover my ass because JJ's not around. So if I fuck up while he's gone, I'm going to be in real trouble. So I got to be on my best behavior.
Understandable. But, I mean, I don't think... And I think one of you guys had mentioned this a few weeks ago. I don't think there is any better female heel in the history of WWE than Stephanie. And she has that history to back up. I mean, the McMahon-Helmsley era in the early 2000s, who didn't despise her? And as we've seen, Dixie, we've never seen her in a heelish light, really. And the only person who really, I think, had that moment of, you know, kind of crossing that line and actually, you know, getting in her face sort of was Sting when he was on the whole tweener role. Like the first time that they made a big deal about, you know, him putting his hands on her backstage, you know, like, "I owe you nothing." That I could see how she would have reacted like that. It was just totally out of left field with this. Now, I don't know where they're going to go with this. I mean, I think next week's Impact is a live one, so we'll see how they try to follow it up, but I don't know. I'm just concerned it's going to be another sour footnote in TNA's history.
Yeah, and as you're getting closer and closer to the pay-per-view, your last pay-per-view of this year, there won't be another live one until next year if they continue on this trend of 4 a year. You got to try to pull out something a little bigger than this to get me hooked into it. I just, you know, I don't feel it, man. I just don't. I mean, the Aces and Eights thing, they're nothing. They've crumbled. They ain't shit no more. It's almost like they've screwed it up so much that Bully's not even believable to me as the champ anymore.
Well, I mean, you actually look at it. Technically, I guess they kind of have three groups going now in TNA. I mean, you know, I think some of you pointed out, you know, Aces and the Mafia, they're not exactly the dominant forces they were right now. I kind of would like to see how, if those two groups are gone, you know, after Bound for Glory, the only group you would have left over is Ego of Daniels, Kazarian, and Rude. And, you know, we know how dominant Rude can be as, like, you know, a main event heel. And, you know, over the past year or two, you've seen just how great a scumbag Daniels and Kazarian can both be. So hopefully that could be a nice little startup for them also.
Yeah, I love those guys. You know, I don't know how much I like Rude being involved with them. I liked it better when it was just the two of them, but you know what? He kind of fits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as he's not coming down to the ring trying to, you know, drink apple teenies or something like that, he ain't infringing on him too much.
No. I mean, I don't mind that group that much, but, like, you're right. But you've got three groups, and all of them don't seem to have a purpose anymore. What's going to happen? If Dixie fucks over AJ, then technically she's siding with Aces and Eights.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of questions. You know, it's sort of like WWE. They've got a lot of questions that you're looking, that you're trying to find answers to, but it's not so much that you're looking forward to finding out the answers as much as it is you're just waiting to see it's over. I think that's sort of what it is mainly.
Yeah, and I mean, it shouldn't be that way. We'll see, man. Yeah, I don't like the news that's coming out that there's talk of them being sold. I don't know how true those rumors are. You know, the IWC has gotten, this is something else I noticed, it's gotten really bad in the last year. All the rumors, I don't know if it's maybe WWE throwing shit out there and that's what's kind of done it, but, you know, it's not as reliable as it used to be. You just don't know what the fuck's going on. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we need to go back to that where we're surprised. But, I mean, as of right now, yeah, I'm not... They need to really step it up in the next couple of weeks to make me interested in Bound for Glory, because right now, eh.
Yeah. Well, I guess I kind of went a little bit off with a lot of the TNA talk. I guess to wrap up my call, you know, briefly, for Monday night, the main event, very, very impressed with the performance of Roman Reigns. For it being his first televised outing in a singles match, I thought it was an excellent showing. I haven't seen SmackDown yet, but, I mean, we've seen the skills that Ambrose and Rollins have one-on-one, you know, especially against someone like Bryan. Reigns just looked like an absolute beast. And like I've said before, like Big E Langston, he's a big guy who knows how to get the shit done in the ring. I was very satisfied. And the match actually ended the best way I thought it could have. It should have either gone that he would either beat Bryan or that Bryan would win by DQ, because it still shows the dominance that Reigns put in, but, you know, Bryan still got the victory by, you know, shady shenanigans. But I was very impressed with Reigns' performance in that match.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to let you go. I've actually got two callers on the line right now. I'm going to take them in order of calling in. Actually, I think it'd be best if I save one of these callers for last. We save the best for last. No insult to Ashley, but Train, take care of yourself, man.
All right, you have yourself a good night, Bronx Fodder.
It might get bad before it gets better.
All right, you take care, man.
All right, take care, man. Ashley, what's on your mind?
Oh, my word. Seriously, I'm wondering now whether the people who are booking these storylines are 24-hour loops of Dora the Explorer, because the direction that they just went with the storylines this week completely didn't make sense, apart from the one which had to happen, Mickey James ODB, because Mickey James is out of contract, because I don't honestly feel, you know, just basically a month or two after his meteoric rise to being world champion, the whole idea of having EY and Robbie E and then go to a commercial and then tease a tag team match, go back to commercial, and then after 10 seconds the match is over and they've won. I don't know why that was booked like that. And then I have no problem with stuff being copied retrospectively, but the problem is you're kind of doing your own adaptation of something that already exists, at least with TNA. And I don't want to say it grinds my gears, because that's a Family Guy reference, but it really doesn't. I don't know. I'm speechless.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I see, my thing probably is I can't stand that white boy surfer Jersey Shore attitude. Maybe it's because I never really watched the Jersey Shore. I've never liked Robbie E. It was comedic. I mean, for the part of Joseph Park, you know, oh, he sees blood and all of a sudden he's Superman. Eh.
Yeah, and this is one thing. I'm not opposing the product, because the wrestling last night was pretty good. It's just the way... Wrestling is 50-50. It's storyline and it's... The skills that are put out there. The skills were very good last night. with exception to the whole Robbie tag match thing, but then that's because it only lasted 10 seconds, so it was probably a blessing in disguise. But the whole other 50%, you know, them calling it in from 17:24.
Well, I mean, no one, I've never, ever said, when the, look, TNA, when the bell rings, I ignore everything else because I know I'm going to see a show. I have nothing negative to say about any of the shit they do in the ring. Haven't had a negative word to say about TNA's in-ring shit since the day I saw my first TNA show. It's always been tight. My problem is just the stories. I'll vehemently defend TNA for their in-ring talent. Always have, always will. They've got some of the best talent in the fucking world. But it's how it's booked, how it's written, how it's blocked. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of people saying about Jim Ross. I don't see it ever happening. I don't think he'll go to TNA. I know he won't go to TNA. He's probably going to go to MMA, if anything. I think that's where his love is right now. I think he's done with wrestling, period. He ain't going to ROH. He ain't going to TNA. In my humble opinion, if good old JR does anything, it's going to fucking be mixed martial arts.
Yeah, I agree there. And kind of jumping into SmackDown a bit, the only reason that we saw, you know, Santino go over Weed McMuffin this week is because Weed McMuffin couldn't cross the bump to Canada last week. The only reason why they're chanting Weed the People, sorry, not Weed the People, they're doing Weed the People because they like Cesaro.
Go on.
No, it's Cesaro that they like. Weed McMuffin is like the afterthought, and the only reason because Dirty Dutch Mantel was apparently got a secret stash hidden in his beard.
Wow. Yeah. It's getting out of hand. But I don't know, man. It's just, we'll have to wait and see. I'm hoping they hit something out of the park. As far as TNA goes, WWE, excuse me, is my allergies. Allergies are killing me. WWE is flowing along nicely. I think TNA, hopefully they pull something out of their bag and surprise us. But Ashley, I've got a very important guy waiting on the line, so I'll talk to you later, my friend. Thank you so much for calling. Make sure you guys listen to the whole indie show every week. It's archived, usually on Fridays on the SNS Radio Network. Ashley. God damn it, I didn't want the motherfucker to hang up that quick. Didn't even let me plug his show, and he's gone. Either his PC crapped out, or he just thought I was kicking him off. I don't know. Now we're going to go to our final caller, and you know what? It's been a long time since I've heard this, and I'm going to do it. Why? Because I can.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off!
They say I'm cocky, and I say what it ain't. Bragging motherfucker, if you back it up. They say I'm cocky, and I say what it ain't. Bragging motherfucker, if you back it up.
Been a long time since I've heard that music.
Lucky I got found it real quick. What's up, Trey?
Well, I watched Impact today simply because my Kansas City Chiefs were busy going 3-0 last night. So I was pretty hooked to the football game, as were a lot of America. So when people bitch about the TNA rating, yeah, I know it's TNA, but still, that was a very, very, very watched football game last night. And here's a little tidbit of information you may not know, that 8 of the most watched television shows in the last week have been, 6 of them have been football games.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So, you know, it's just a bad timing for TNA in the first place to be going up against NFL football. Now, before anybody starts, Trey's just here to apologize for TNA. You're right in a lot of your points, but I want to bring up some things I don't think you thought about or anybody else has thought about for that matter. And I deliberately stayed away from the internet last night. I deliberately stayed away from Facebook. I deliberately, you know, stayed away from the SNS page because I didn't want to see what people were saying before I had a chance to come home from work today and watch Impact. Keep in mind, gang, I work from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. So when the football game was over, I went to work. I came home at 8 o'clock this morning, and while eating my breakfast, I watched Impact. Would I have done a lot of things different? Yes. A lot of things different. But I'm just kind of baffled in some ways. You know, you got to keep in mind one thing, and I think a lot of times people forget this. With, and I've dubbed the Triple H, Stephanie, Shield, Randy Orton group over on the WWE side of things, I've dubbed them the regime. We've had the corporation. We've had the Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. We've had the McMahon Helmsley era. Now I'm calling them the regime because that's what they remind, me of, a regime right now. But they've got several programs throughout the week to really get their point across. And if you are like me and you had given up on SmackDown and you're just a Raw watcher, take it from me. Do yourself a favor. Invest in watching SmackDown now because there is no brand split. It is a continuation of the Raw storyline every week. And I just want to point out a few things. I'm not here to trash your job, what you're doing. I'm not here to trash your show. I'm not here to trash your opinion. So don't take that in any way, shape, or form. Anybody else on the network that would have said some of the things you said, brought up some of the points you brought up, I would have called in to give them an ulterior look at things. You complain about, and I don't even know where to start, really, but I'm going to start here. You complained about, and I say you, the IWC, the whole group of you, complained about Aces and Eights. You hated Aces and Eights. You got to kill Aces and Eights. Well, now they're doing that, and you're bitching about them doing that.
I get what you're saying.
They're working in a way. They can't just come out on live TV and go, well, I guess they can. They did it with Tito and what's his name, Rampage.
Yeah.
But they can't just come out and go, hey, we're following Dixie's Twitter page and saw that you guys said you hated Aces and Eights, so we just wrote them off TV. Don't worry about them no more. Let's go on. They can't do that. They got to have a way for them to implode internally or have somebody come in and take them out. You bitched about how bad you hated Aces and Eights and you wanted them gone, and now they're doing that and you bitch again.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, like I said before, now all of a sudden you're down to just, you know, four members. My thing with TNA is a lot of times they either don't go fast enough or they go too fast. And it's like Aces and Eights went from this huge, it happened like that, you know?
But when they started, 99.9% of the viewing audience hated them and wanted them off television. Why would you draw that out? If I tell you that I'm going to rub a turd in your face and you got a choice of 3 seconds or 10 days, what do you want?
Man, 3 seconds. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And we said it was going to end at Bound for Glory. But the problem is, how does it end now at Bound for Glory where it looks like I'm calling it, I think Dixie's going to fuck over AJ at Bound for Glory. So you can't end Aces and Eights because Bully's still going to have the title.
I'm not so sure that's how that happens.
I don't know.
Because unless you're going to, let me get my cart, you know, don't get my cart before my horse here.
Right.
you're saying, and I'm listening to the callers calling in, saying Dixie has turned heel. How has Dixie turned heel? I want you to explain to me how Dixie turned heel.
All right, let me ask you this. As a guy who's been following TNA since the beginning, since they had weekly pay-per-views on Wednesday.
First show, yes.
Right. Didn't it piss you off last night to a certain extent where she said, I built this fucking company?
No.
No? Okay.
No, because if you know the lineage of the company, you know that Jeff Jarrett was about to go bankrupt and went to his old college buddy to get a loan.
Yeah, true, true.
She fell in love with the product, fell in love with the business, and loved being that big motherly figure that came in and saved the day. So it's her money that's been spent. Well, her or her parents' money, but whosoever dollar it is, it's not yours, it's not theirs, it's not mine. And she's right. If it wasn't for Dixie Carter, would AJ Styles be wrestling on primetime television right now?
No, but I think that some diehard TNA people aren't going to see it that way. You're looking at it logically.
AJ just turned his back on us. AJ took his ball and went home. AJ went home and grew out his hair and grew out his evil Superman beard. It's all about me. I'm the one. I'm the loner. I'm the lone wolf. I've changed my music. I'm the lone wolf. I'm the bad guy. I'm the ultimate between guy. Oh, now I'm going to help Main Event Mafia, but I'm not going to join them in their quest to rid TNA of this cancer. I'm going to go on about my own personal shit and do my own thing.
Well, I mean, as far as them bringing...
What did Dixie say last night in that promo that wasn't true?
Well, sometimes the truth hurts.
What did she say in that promo last night about AJ Styles and about that company that wasn't true?
Nothing. What I'm trying to say is the truth doesn't always make you a babyface. The truth is...
She's not trying to be a babyface, and she's probably not trying to be a heel. Did she come off looking like kind of a bitch? Yes. But you know what? Put yourself in her position. Put yourself in Dixie Carter's stiletto fucking heels for a minute, and that's a picture I don't want anybody to imagine. However, put yourself in her shoes for a minute and think about every time she puts out a tweet or every time she puts out a message on Facebook. You know, she asks for people's opinion on one thing. She gets completely fucking hammered by the IWC every fucking day. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say 10 years from now, you're still hosting this show. And for 8 of the last 10 years, every time you went on the Facebook page, every time you went on a Twitter, every time you went anywhere to promote Get in the Zone, you had a ration of shit from the IWC telling you how stupid you were, how you killed this show, how you don't know what you're doing, how you're going to be off the air in the next 6 months because you have no idea what you're doing. And you multiply that by about 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000 a day.
I would probably fucking just stop tweeting. I would say, fuck it.
Or wouldn't you come on your show and say, hey, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do because this is the show that Bronx built.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but some of the mistakes she makes is like, all right, here's one. When that whole shit went down, with all the contracts, as soon as all the contracts were expiring and the rumors came out she wasn't paying people, that people weren't getting their fair share, all that shit, the first thing she did was, well, I'm going to have a Q&A, which turned into a complete shit fest. And my question is, why, when you know right now your company's under attack and heated, would you want to have a fucking Q&A?
Because she's trying to weed out the positive comments from the negative. There are some people out there that still enjoy the product. And it's that 10% that she listens to. I guess.
Right, and I'm not one of these people who's going to shit all over it. Who knows? They might do. Well, all I'm saying is that I'm still going to watch it. I'm not going to give up on it until it dies, because I think it. Like I said, the in-ring I have no problem with. The guys are just, you know, it's always amazing in-ring. But what there are some things that she has done that I don't agree with, which is like the X Division is basically fucking dead. I don't agree with that.
You can blame Hogan and Bischoff for that.
Well, yeah, but ultimately...
Just like the Knockout Division is dead because of Hogan and Bischoff and their hatred for female wrestling.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, she has to assert herself. You're the fucking boss.
Yeah, and that's her flaw, is that she's got the wrong chickens in the hen house. She's got the wrong people giving her advice on what to do. That's always been the problem with TNA, is I've said it a million times. It's like their creative team, and it's I wouldn't say gotten worse. I wouldn't say it's gotten better either, but it's like somebody grabs the book and writes the story and then sets it down and then goes and gets lunch, and somebody else comes behind them 5 minutes later and goes, ooh, that looks good. I think I'll do this, and change that and do this. And you're like, what the hell happened? You know? I just think Dixie has the wrong people telling her what the people want. And it'll be real interesting to me if she re-signs Hogan. I think she probably will, but, you know, I hope she doesn't.
Well, I think she's probably going to try. I mean, I hear Bischoff is almost up soon, too. And
well,
you
Bischoff's
know...
Bischoff's doing every... Bischoff's the one basically running the show, from what I understand.
Correct, yes. I've heard that as well.
And that's what bothers... That's one of the things that bothers me. Now, my reason for calling isn't to call in to defend TNA. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to open your eyes to a few other things. Do they have a lot of problems? Yes, they have a lot of problems. It doesn't help losing Mickey James. It doesn't help losing Ken Anderson. I thought Ken Anderson really came on there towards the end. He was one of those people that AJ talked about that, you know, you signed him and they didn't do anything for us for the longest time. He was bland and, you know, boring. But I thought at the end of his Aces and Ace run, he was starting to get a little interesting, unfortunately.
Yeah, but now I heard that he might not have not re-signed. I'm hearing there's a rumor he might still stick with the company. And I'll tell you the truth, that's one guy I'd love to see them keep, because he's the guy who can come back after a few weeks and want to get revenge for the fucking brutal ass-kicking he took. The thing is, don't wait until a guy's contract is almost up to make him captivating to us.
Well, as far as he is concerned, I said this the minute that they took him out on the stretcher, that I originally thought he did not fit Aces and Eights, and I wondered why they put him in there. As they were throwing him off the stretcher and supposedly riding him off TV, it made sense. Because now it makes sense for him to be the guy to come back and take them out. They planted that seed last night with, you know, hoes before bros, basically. And now the other three guys are going to start thinking, you know, we fucked over Anderson for this guy, and then he turns and, you know, gives all the credit to her. Where has she been this whole time? You know, we're the ones that have kept that belt around his waist. Maybe get Ken Anderson back in here wouldn't be such a bad idea. And I think what you're going to get is Anderson's going to come in, Bully's going to depend on his boys to back him, and they're going to turn on him and take him out.
Well, my favorite moment on Impact in the last couple of weeks was when Anderson, you know, went back to be a Mr. Anderson and said, you know what, and this is what I liked about it, which is why I'm hoping he stays, is he was the only guy in that group who had the balls to say, hey, wait a minute, you're shitting all over me for not winning a match. When was the last time you won clean, motherfucker, without all of us helping you? He's the only one in that group. Nux almost did it last night, but then again, he didn't, which I understand he wouldn't yet. But I mean, I'm saying Anderson was the only guy to say, fuck you. You ain't shit. You're some new, you know, I hate to say this.
Well, they said it best last night when they said, you know, this company or this group was, you know, 20 strong at one point. Now we're down to four guys. What's that say about your leadership? You know, to me, that's the writing on the wall, is that they're getting ready to turn on him. But, you know, you're talking about how this is a blatant ripoff of CM Punk and Triple H. I don't think at all it's a blatant ripoff. I mean, they were very adamant and open in the wrestling media about having cutbacks and payment problems and contract issues. They just decided to take that to the damn camera with AJ, you know, and I don't think in any way he's trying to be CM Punk. I don't think in any way Dixie's trying to be Stephanie or fucking Triple H.
Yeah, it's the timing, though. The timing that this is happening just a few weeks after this whole shit in WWE started.
But you're referring to a storyline that happened years ago with CM Punk and Triple H, back when he took the belt and was gone for a week and then came back and we had two champions.
No, I'm also comparing it to what's going on in the WWE now. You know, you've got...
How is it even comparable?
It is, because look at where it's leading to. She comes out last night, you know, AJ is the guy who's trying to be, you know, now all... And what you said before made sense. He did turn his back on people. That's something Daniel Bryan didn't do.
He turned his back on the company.
Exactly, but I still think there are comparisons to be made about the direction they're going in the WWE with what's going
on. Triple H took the belt off of Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan isn't a big, quote-unquote, stereotypical wrestler. He's a short guy. He's not blown up like he's done a fucking... 7-year steroid stint, and he's ugly as fuck. That's why Triple H says that he's not good for business, because that's not the face you want as the face of a wrestling company. That is completely different than what's going on in TNA with AJ and Dixie. The only comparison is a wrestler having an argument with an authority figure.
Right, but my problem is I foresee where this is going to go. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first person to come on this show and say, fuck me, they took it in a whole different direction. I hope they do.
So you're saying that if Dixie comes out and screws AJ to help Bully, then they're blatantly ripping off the WWE?
Not blatantly, but it's a definite comparison.
Because authority figures siding with one person over another has never been done in wrestling before.
Didn't say that.
Well, then how can you compare that?
I'm talking about the timing. All I'm talking about is the timing with how this is happening all of a sudden.
But even
now.
Even if she comes out and blatantly screws AJ to help Bully, her reasons and the reason it's happening is completely different than the reasons it happened on WWE television.
I get what you're saying. You make a valid point. We're just seeing things differently. And like I said, I might get totally fucked. This could go a totally different freaking way. I don't know. And that's my problem. The storylines in TNA jump around too much. It's like
they've only got one show a week, though. They don't have four shows to hammer a point home. They've got to do it, go on to the next week, go on to the next week. If they draw it out, you guys bitch about it. Oh, they're taking too long. This is getting boring. I wish I'd just hurry up and end this shit. And then when they do something quickly and they get to the fucking point, you bitch about that too. That's what I say about TNA. They are in a no-win situation because times are different now than they were during the day of the Monday Night Wars. All of us enamored wrestling fans that sat in front of the TV with our eyes glued to the set and watched every minute we could absorb have all grown up now, and everybody's a critic.
Yeah, I think maybe it's what you're saying is we don't watch it through those innocent eyes anymore.
No, we don't.
And especially when you do a fucking radio show, you want to critique everything. I get what you're saying. Another thing I want...
Even not doing a wrestling radio show, the fact that there are such things as wrestling radio shows now because there weren't any back then. I mean, during the Monday Night Wars, there might have been 3 radio shows. Period.
Now there's 500.
That's if there were 3. You know, a lot of radio shows didn't come along until the end of WCW when WWE was the only game in town.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, internet wasn't in nearly as many homes then as it is now.
Oh, it's fucking almost in every home now.
Well,
I mean,
the difference is back during the early Monday, back when WWE Raw was WWF Raw and first coming onto the scene, there were more homes without internet than with it.
Right.
And nowadays, every home in America, even places that don't have internet, have phones, and everybody's getting on the internet.
Right.
And everybody's a critic. To where back then, there weren't critics. There were ratings. That was it.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I swear to I'll swear to the day I die, if you were to reverse the shows and TNA started when WWF Raw came on the air and WWF Raw started when TNA came out, if you reverse their roles, we'd be talking shit about the WWF product, not the TNA product.
Well, I mean, I gave a scenario last week. I mean, imagine what would have happened. Take TNA when Jeff Jarrett was about to give up and Dixie rode in on her white horse. Take that, bring it back to the 90s, and let it have been Ted Turner who came in and financially saved them instead of Dixie. What do you think would have happened? TNA would have fucking, I won't use the word robbed, I'll use the word, you know, use their checkbook via Ted Turner to probably bring in Hall and Nash and do exactly what WCW did. I get what you're saying.
It's just that times have changed so much from when wrestling was prominent. You know, and if people think that the wrestling business is in a good, you know, state right now, you're on crack. Because if they were on such a good state, there'd be more than 2 televised shows, number one. Number two, you know, you don't hear about this as much because it's a much larger company and it doesn't hurt them as much. But do you realize that the WWE is cutting back as we speak? That they are cutting everything that they do damn near, except for that new deal down in Orlando. They are cutting back on everything. And I've got the numbers. I just don't have them in front of me. But TNA starts cutting back and everybody's like, oh, they're fucking going to die. They're fucking going to... Man, they might. Because they don't have the checkbook that the WWE has. But at the same time, WWE's cutting costs everywhere they turn, too.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, too, I mean, I'm like you. I'm not a big guy when it comes to ratings. I'll bring them up, but I'm not a big... Look at ratings. You know, Raw will do, let's say, a 3.1 or 3.2, and it's like, yay. But if you go back 10, 15 years ago, both Raw and WCW were doing 6s, 7s, 8s. It has changed. You're right. I get your point. You know, one last thing I want to get your opinion on as far as TNA. What the hell are they doing with Saban? How does he go from holding the title to now all of a sudden being butthurt at Manic?
Well, because he pretty much said it himself. Excuse me. He is one of the, you know, original TNA members. He has more X Division championships than anybody else. He, you know, finally became a world champion, and then all he is an asterisk, basically, in the time frame of TNA because it was so short-lived. You know, that's where he's getting his anger from. Mac Daddy says WWE isn't necessarily cutting back. I got numbers to show you. I can prove it to you. Don't make me pull them out because I don't want to be here that long. But trust me, they are cutting back everywhere except for their performance facility in Orlando. Now, WWE can afford to and not take a hit and not make a dent in anything, but to say that they're not cutting back is stupid.
One last thing I want to ask you. You spoke earlier about how TNA just over the last few years hasn't had the right people in the saddle as far as Hogan, Bischoff. Right. The problem now is, and you talk about how the business has changed, who is there? I mean, are you going to try to get Jim Cornette to come back in?
Ain't going to happen.
You're not going to get JR. I mean, I don't see that happening.
As far as JR is concerned, the only way Dixie would ever get JR is to give him complete control of everything. To let him buy the groceries, let him make the meal, let him serve the appetizers, let him do the main course, let him put his JR's barbecue all over everything. The only way she would get JR is to write a blank check and say, okay, look, we need a mind for the business telling us what to do. Here it is. It's all yours. Here's the book. Here's the check. Go get who you want. Let go of who you want. Give this show a complete overhaul with your stamp on it. Now, just like the Paul Heyman scenario, when everybody was saying, oh, Paul Heyman's the guy, Paul Heyman's the guy, and Heyman was saying, no, I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't go to TNA, they can't pay me enough. Here's the problem I have with that. I'll use the example of the Daniel Bryan referee storyline with the Armstrong ref. Triple H tells the referee before they come out for that segment, when I start grilling you, I want you to confess. And I want you to say, they got us. Implicating Daniel Bryan and you were in cahoots. Even though they weren't, and Bryan knows nothing about it. Because now when that happens, it gives Triple H the ends to his means, which is to get the belt back off of Daniel Bryan. What I'm telling you is, Paul Heyman comes out when he was a free agent and he wasn't working with WWE at the time, and he did have meetings with TNA. The only way he would do it is if they gave him what I said they should give JR, which is complete control of everything. Well, he says that knowing they're not going to do it. Why would you? He's already bankrupted one company when he had complete control. Now, is he a good mind for the business? Yes. Do you want him handling your finances and booking talent and fucking paying talent and firing talent? No. But by making such an outlandish request that he knew they would never meet, it saves him from getting in there and falling on his face and fucking up two companies. So it's easy for him to say, well, unless they give me 1,000% control, I'm not doing it. Knowing that they would never do that covers him from ever going in there and falling on his face and then having the internet think, oh, well, Paul Heyman is now responsible for killing two companies.
No matter what they offer him, do you agree with the IWC sentiment that JR would think TNA is below him, beneath him?
Maybe. There's a good chance. I know he's got a lot of friends that are there. I know that he's a wrestling guy. I know that it was not his idea to ever give up the amount of power he ever had in WWE. It was slowly always taken away from him.
Right.
He likes being a guy in there with the wrench, tightening and loosening the nuts and the bolts. And let's use an example. Let's try to do an example here. Let's use Wrestling News Live as an example because it's all I know. You know, we retired from Wrestling News Live. Some guy comes to me tomorrow and says, hey, I want to start a wrestling radio show. I want to start from scratch. I want you to build the listener base from zero to whatever you can. And I want you to start all over again. Not bringing over any of your old listeners, but starting fresh with a brand new show. I would say, man, at this point in my career, I don't know that I want to take on that challenge. And you might think to yourself, well, why did you do the Doghouse? Well, that show still has the same listener base that Wrestling News Live had. So I knew upon putting out a podcast, it was going to get heard. It was going to have listeners. Over 300, almost 400 now, by the way. I would tell that person, no, I'm really not interested. A couple days goes by, and that person calls me again, says, Trey, look, I know you told us no. I know you don't want to start from scratch. I know you don't want to start all over again. But I'm going to let you fill in this check for however much money you think it's going to take. I want to pay you what you feel you're worth. I want to give you the ability to build this product and put your stamp on it. And I'm going to pay you very well to do it. Well, at that point, I start thinking, huh? So you mean to tell me that I get to do what I love to do all over again? You want to stoke my fire and throw gas on my internal fire by challenging me to recreate something that was successful once before, that is a passion of mine that I love to do. And you're going to pay me ridiculously more than what I'm really worth to do it. And you're going to give me complete authority to hire and fire whomever I choose and actually be involved in the creative process. That's hard to say no to. And I'm not saying that JR would ever do it. I don't want to come on here next week and say, hear a bunch of hosts saying, Trey's out of his fucking mind, JR's never going to TNA. I'm not saying he's going to TNA. I'm just saying money talks. Not only does money talk, but the fire to compete in a profession that you love talks. Money talks. Being given complete control to put your stamp on something and try to save the Titanic. You know, as popular as the Titanic is, and we all know what happened to the Titanic, it sank.
Right.
But as popular as the Titanic is, can you imagine how much more popular the guy would be that dove off that ship and went down there and sealed that crack and saved all those people would be?
Yeah. Excuse me. I get what you're saying, but also you have to look at how JR perceives it. You had told the story a while ago, and this is a credit to me riding the subways every fucking day and listening to all the archives I can, where you also have to believe in the product that you're endorsing. Now, you had mentioned once that they had offered you a good deal to endorse this diet product that you tried and just didn't work. And you said that in order to get this bitch off your back, you basically said it's going to take a ridiculous amount of money to get me, just to get her off your back, because you didn't believe in the product and you didn't want your listeners to buy a product that you knew for a fact didn't work.
Gave me the shits, actually.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, in JR's mind, is he confident enough? You know, would he...
Is he confident enough in his own abilities to save the Titanic?
Right.
That is what I was getting at with Paul Heyman. See, Paul Heyman wasn't. Paul Heyman wasn't comfortable enough with his own abilities to save the Titanic. That's why he made that ridiculous thing to say, well, I'll only do it if you teach human beings how to fly. Knowing that that would never happen, so he would be safe.
Well,
JR, on the other hand, you know, the reason why I honestly, in my heart, don't think he would go to TNA is because I know for a fact that not last year, but I think the year before, or maybe even the year before that. I'm getting old now, so I can't remember. shit starts to fucking melt together. But he was one of the candidates to take over the announcing position for OU football. And he turned it down. And it was because he didn't want to have to live up to that expectation, I believe. And I think that would be the same thing that would keep him from going to TNA. And the reason I say that is because TNA is not only the Titanic, but they are already deep in the water. It's not like they just hit the iceberg.
Well, yeah,
they've already started to sink a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you told me I can send you back in time to an hour before the Titanic hits the iceberg and you could be a fucking hero and prevent them from hitting it, yeah, I might take that up. But if you tell me I'm going to send you back in time an hour after it's hit the iceberg and I'm going to, you know, try to have you be the guy who saves everyone, I'd be like, no, because there's a good chance I'm going to drown too.
I could also tell you that if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
True.
I just think that Dixie is really not the only problem. There are a lot of issues in that company, and I say that because look at how many media relations people they've gone through in my years of doing internet radio and their 10 years or 11 years now, however many years of existence. You know, I could count the number of media relations people on both hands. It would take both hands. It's a revolving door position. The only position other than the owner that I could say has stayed the same since day one has been that of Jeremy Borash.
Yeah.
As far as being in the office.
Yeah. JB's been there since day fucking one.
And JB's not just an announcer. He's not just their podcast guy. He does a lot of shit day to day in Nashville. That's why he lives in Nashville. He has a place in Nashville. He works in the office and then does the live shows. But that whole internal office structure is a wreck. I mean, it's not just Dixie and her decisions. It's a lot of shit inside the company that's broken, that needs to be fixed. And AJ made a great point of, you know, instead of hiring former WWE and WCW wrestlers that were coming in for a paid vacation just to ride off in the sunset and go somewhere else, back where they belong, he's right. That was a big killer to that company. You know, and again, two of the biggest ones are still there, Hogan and Bischoff. I don't want people to call me hypocritical because, yeah, I was looking forward to what they could do with the product when they got in there. They've highly let me down.
Yeah, and you look even back at Russo. He was another disaster, you know. I think they've tried everything, and it's like, you know, I think, let's end it with this. Part of it, it's a double-edged sword. Dixie's not that smart in picking out the guys who she wants to run the company. However, that pool is very thin. You don't have a lot of brilliant...
It doesn't have to be.
You know, you
don't...
It
doesn't have to be. Because there are plenty of people And I hate to bring this guy up, but there are plenty of people out there with an eye for the business, a knowledge of the inner workings of the business, that have been in WWE creative, that have been in just wrestling creative, period, that could help them. The problem is they need to quit hiring people that have already used up all their creative juices and good ideas. They need to hire a young person that's fresh, but a big fan of the business. They need to hire a guy like me that's got a much higher IQ than I have. They need to hire a guy that's extremely smart, but with my passion for that product and my knowledge of that product, along with my knowledge of the competition's product, so that I don't go out and do something they're doing on TV right now. You know, you could be a great wrestling mind and only be invested in the TNA product, not watch Raw, and accidentally do something similar to what Raw's doing and get flagged for being a fucking copycat. So you got to have a guy that's knowledgeable of both products, watches both products, you know, passionate about the company, passionate about TNA, wants to see it succeed, that has a mind for the business, that can sit there and look at the product and go, okay, this is what people want. This is what we need to do. Let's mix the two and see how they work out. You need a guy that's going to have the ability to write storylines 6 months deep so that it all makes sense, with an escape plan should something ever fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, shit, during the Monday Night Wars, you can goddamn bet that Raw had WCW on in the production truck, and yeah, WCW had Raw on in the production truck. Just don't bring each other up. And one of the low points in the Monday Night Wars was when Bischoff used to try to bring up shit Vince was going to do, and Vince tried to bring up shit Bischoff was going to do.
And that's just bad business. Because right, as soon as you start telling me about a fight or an argument that you're having with another radio show, your listener base is going to go listen to their show to see what they say about you out of their love for you, which does nothing but give them what they want, and that's numbers.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, when freaking Subway's puts every sub on the $5 foot long for the month. Yeah. And then McDonald's goes and they give you buy one, get one free Whoppers, buy one, get one free Big Macs. McDonald's doesn't say, well, we're giving you buy one, get one free Big Macs this week because
they just do it.
They just do it. And, you know, it's a coincidence. Make it seem like a coincidence. I get what
you're
saying.
Speaking of those $5 footlongs, I know how Jared lost all that weight. He shit himself to death because I eat it. Fucking Subway all the time, and every time I do, I have to come home and shit for hours.
Bro, I went to McDonald's for the first time in about 2 months the other day, and I just basically was gonna bring my computer and radio equipment into the bathroom because that fast food will kill you. You're better off going to a regular deli. I don't know how we segued into sandwiches and shitting.
Well, here's a dart at the dartboard of what we were talking about. You know, we're talking about what kind of person can come in and make TNA relevant or make it interesting. And if you are a diehard TNA fan like myself and you've watched since day one, then you know that the best the storylines have ever been, and the most entertaining that company has ever been, was when Jeremy Borash teamed up with Scott D'Amore. And they were losing their week. They were going from weekly pay-per-view to weekly television. And they had gone to Fox Sports, and then they lost the Fox Sports deal. And they were basically shopping the product to anybody that had a TV stick that would listen. But they were sticking to internet shows. They were doing internet shows. Those storylines, that time frame, was the most compelling TV that they have ever put out. The problem is, once they landed the Spike deal, they took the good storylines that these guys had already gotten in motion. Jeff Jarrett went back into authority and brought in other people to be on the committee. And those two guys shortly then bailed out, and it changed hands again, and it went to shit.
Bigger ain't always better.
No, and you don't need a committee. You need one or you need two guys. One to come up with the idea on this one to bounce off the other guy. And while you're working on this storyline, the other guy works on his, and you bounce the ideas off each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have two guys in a committee, you'll you'll get shit done. You go up to four guys, it's harder. Eight guys, it's harder. 12 guys, it's fucking harder. You know, the more people you have, the more people are going to disagree. And while you're arguing, things, you know, go to shit.
But we talk about what does TNA need, and I told you they need somebody that's young, has a passion for the business, cares about the product, wants to see it succeed, and Jeremy Borash was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a fucking laundry list of ideas that he'd already used in another company, because WCW, he was just a peon. He was a nobody that they didn't listen to. But then when he got into TNA, he had a little bit more say, and he got his way onto the committee of booking the shows and writing the shows, and it showed. There are people out there that they could get, and it would almost be one of those deals where, you know, WWE got so big, they became a global company to where they sold stock to the fans. TNA's not big enough to do that, but what they could do is open their office to more fan-like people and get better employees that are passionate about that product, that have a wrestling knowledge, that want to see it succeed, and they will help take that to the next level. But you have to get over yourself, get off your high horse. You know, you post out there that you got a social media position that I would be perfect for. I've applied, and I've yet to hear anything back from anybody. But all they asked for was somebody that's active on social media, knows about the product, knows about the company. Who does that describe more than me?
Yeah, but is that what they really want? I mean, you go back to the WWE.
That's what they said in their job listing.
Right.
That's what they said. So if that's what they said and that's what they're truly looking for, then why have I not heard back from anybody? It's because who am I to them? I'm just a guy that's hosted a radio show, interviewed some people, knows about the product, knows about the business. I have some friends that work for the company, you know. But I am just a fucking pimple on the ass of what they're trying to succeed and do. So nobody's gotten in touch with me. And that's where they need to drop the fucking shit, lower their guard, let people like me. I'm not saying me. I'm not saying that the company has to hire me to succeed and survive. Not saying that. Please don't take it that way. I'm talking about people that would be good for the business, for their business, that have the passion and the knowledge that I have. Get people like that into some of those positions that they've had a revolving door since day one to stick around and actually work and make that company better, and it'll grow from the inside out.
Yeah, but I also think that deep down, these wrestling companies, and I throw WWE into this pile too, how long have they had soap opera writers?
They're adamant about it. They're openly adamant
right.
about how they don't want wrestling fans.
Right, but I think the success that WWE has had in 2013, everyone said it's become a much better product, is because I think...
That's Triple H and Stephanie.
Thank you. I can't verify this, but I think if it was up to Triple H and Stephanie, they'd have about three guys on the committee who were diehard wrestling fans.
Let me put it to you this way. As far as can I confirm that it's Triple H and Stephanie? Yes. I'm not going to name any names because I would probably get myself in trouble and get them in trouble for doing it. But I know for a fact that Triple H has some great ideas of ways to make the WWE fresh, relevant, on the pulse of what's going on in today's day and time. That dude has come up with a great game plan, and I hope they go with it. I hope they do. Because from what I've heard, he's got the right idea.
Yeah, and he's the exact opposite of what they've had for the last few years when some of us were going to retire from doing radio because the product sucks so bad. He's not a soap opera writer. He didn't write for General Hospital. Triple H is a guy who worked his way up from one of the shittiest gimmicks on the planet, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, in my opinion, to be in the game. He's a guy who's qualified. So, you know, maybe that's what TNA needs to do. Be serious about it.
Again, I'm not on my soapbox saying, hey, TNA, if you want to survive, hire me.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you would hire people in those positions where you've had the revolving door since day one, these non-wrestling people that have come in just because they got a college degree in marketing. Well, how far did that get you? It got you nowhere because they lasted 6 months and you showed them the door. You get a person in there that cares about the product and knows what they're doing, then they stick around and you've got something to build off of. If they would just lower their guard, get off their high horse, stop looking down their nose at the internet wrestling community, and embrace the internet wrestling community and say, these are the people that we need to make our product better, TNA could be successful.
Yeah, it's almost like when they went to Spike TV and that douchebag, I can't remember his name, told you, well, you can't interview our guys anymore, and tried to throw you out of that party. Yeah. And you told him, go fuck yourself. And hey, maybe your name is still on that file somewhere in TNA where they Trey Dog told our head of marketing, whoever it was, to go fuck himself. I've got every phone number I need.
Yeah. I did. And when he walked up to me and said, why are you here? How'd you get here? I told you a long time ago, motherfucker, I don't need you to get access.
Are you going to this? You mentioned on 1010 it was on with you and James Storm. What's up, man?
I received a tweet message telling me to get ready. So I'm assuming it's on.
Well, start your liver cleansing regimen now.
Yeah, I got a direct message from Storm the other day saying it's on. And it's funny because I put in a request. They've got another new guy in charge of media relations. And Crowley and I were talking the other day, and I said, well, I need this guy's name. So Crowley gives me the guy's name, and I emailed him 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. That's probably been 2 weeks now. Told him who I was, what I'd done, what I'm doing, and the person that's no longer there, I name dropped her, the position, he took her spot. Well, I told him, this woman always gave me tickets, and media passes. I'm just letting you know that now that she's no longer there and you're the guy to do that, I would like to do that again if possible. And I'd like to start interviewing more of your guests or more of your talent. Well, then he emails me back with a list of questions. And one of them was, who do I know on the talent roster and who do I hang out with and why and who do I have plans with on 1010? And I was like, oh, shit. So I told him. And then one of his questions was, well, last time they were here, what did you guys do? Last time they were here was on a Sunday. And it was me and Storm and Aries and Zima Ion. We went to Taco Bell, got something to eat. We went back to the hotel, drank at the bar, and watched the Olympics. Woohoo. Bunch of party animals, and then I didn't hear nothing back from him. And then I emailed him again this week. And he said, I didn't get your last email. Resend it. So I did. And then I didn't hear back from him. So the next day I said, did you get the email this time? And he said, yeah, I got it. And that was all he said. So then I emailed him again 2 days later, and he was like, hey, I'll get back to you. There's no reason to keep emailing me. Well, fucking, what do you got to do to verify who I am? Talk to JB, talk to Dixie, talk to Storm, talk to the roster.
Send the bitch an email with a return receipt requested. So he asked the fucking hand. Yeah, you see, that's the thing, Don't forget, the people that brung you. Man.
And if he comes back and says, oh, we're not going to do any interviews at this time, I am going to go on a tirade that goes all the way to Dixie Carter. I mean, when I told her I was applying for that media position, she direct messaged me like 5 minutes later and said, cool, thanks, looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't think she actually sometimes knows what's going on behind closed doors in her own company, and that's what she needs to try to work on,
She just needs to get people in there that aren't snooty motherfuckers with no wrestling background and a degree. She needs to get people that care about the company and want to see it succeed without ulterior motives, that want to see the company prosper, that has a passion for the business. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, see, it goes from the bottom all the way up to the top to where Hogan and Bischoff are. You know, I still think those two are just there for a fucking paycheck. They don't care. They can't. They are both too creative and talented in what they've done in the past to let this product completely fall apart under their reign if they care.
Yeah. And I don't think they care. I personally think Bischoff and Hogan are gone when their contracts are up. And maybe that's a good thing. I mean, shit, what was Hogan on Impact last night? A minute? Two minutes?
Here's what I've heard. And it started with Meltzer, and Adam confirmed it on my show, that Viacom is interested in buying TNA. Viacom owns Spike. It would be a great fit. It would make sense. They would own the product, advertise the product their way on all their other stations. Wouldn't cost them a dime to do that advertising because it's on their own stations. I'm told that last night's AJ Dixie thing is going to lead up to a new regime, a new direction. So what this could lead to is Dixie coming out and eventually saying, look, although she wouldn't, you know, I don't know how they'll do it, but it's going to lead to either somebody else buying the company or her turning authority of the company over to somebody else. And it could be Jarrett, who's working his way back.
Yeah, I was going to mention Jarrett, possibly.
So.
As long as he doesn't book himself to be the fucking champ for 2 years.
He won't. That was something he needed to do at that time because who else was there? You know?
Right.
And it was compelling for the 2 years that he had the belt. But Jarrett is wrestling again. He's trying to get the ring rust off. There's a reason why. At his age and where he is in his life with his new wife and kids, I doubt he has any aspirations of being that guy again, but he would be a very good on-air character and a character that TNA fan base believes in.
True. Absolutely.
Because in the best of times was under his reign.
Yeah. We'll see, man. Like I said, you know, I said before, let's have some patience, see what they do. I think Bound for Glory is going to be more of a closing point than a starting point.
I think it's going to be a new beginning.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Trey?
I think it's going to be more of a birth than a funeral.
I hope so, man. I really do. You know, I hope
nobody listens to this and goes, oh, Trey's just taking up for TNA. No, I'm pointing out flaws and I'm trying to point out ways to fix them. I think that it's a Titanic. I think it's a sinking ship. Yes, I think they're going to die soon if they don't change some of their ways. I'm just hoping that they do.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Like this morning, I took off my wrestling or my you know, wrestling critic hat, and I just watched it for what it was. You know, you talked about how stupid the Abyss thing was. I thought it was pretty funny. You know, you talk about how useless the Eric Young Robbie E thing was, but then WWE has Santino come out and do something with these other fucktards, and it's okay. You know, to me, if you take all those hats off and you just watch it like you did when you were younger and take it in for what it is, it's a lot more fun to watch.
True. When you're not taking notes and you have to cover it. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Trust me. If I can do it, anybody else can. Man. Are there things that happen where I go, good God. Yeah, as soon as I saw Dixie turn on AJ, I thought, oh, shit, the IWC is going to tear her apart for this. She's going to be, you know, everybody's going to be talking shit about how they hate this, blah, 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 blah. But if you stop and think about it, every fucking word that came out of her mouth was 100% true.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Watch it objectively, but I don't know, man. It's
for everything you can find to bitch about. If you take the time with an open mind, you can think about this might be why they're doing what they're doing. But if you're just dead set on bitching because you like to bitch, then you'll never be happy with anything. especially that product.
Well, the other thing is, you know, the live every other week, to me, the live shows have been better than the recorded shows, and that makes sense because, you know, they're going on 4 hours. You've got the same crowd. So I think that hurts it too. But, you know, obviously they can't go live every week. So we'll have to see. Man, I don't know. It's been a marathon. It's been great. I appreciate you coming on. Shit, the Doghouse will be archived every Monday night, correct?
Yeah, we're going to try to get these done on Mondays. My work schedule, just as soon as I committed to doing this show again, they're talking about maybe changing my work schedule for a month or so. If that happens, it'll be a little harder to do the show. I'll still do it. I'll just have to find a different way of going about it. But for right now, until you're told otherwise, I'd like to get the show archived on the Podbean and on the website, SNS website, by the time Raw goes on the air.
Very cool, man. I enjoyed the first episode. I liked your take on real news. I said I enjoyed that the most. The fucking clown.
What the fuck is wrong with this world we live in? I've already got a story ready for next week.
Shit.
And I'm going to do more of those because that was a lot of fun, I have to admit.
Well, one good thing, if you're going to cover stupid shit that happens in real life, you'll be able to stay on the air for the next 100 years because it's like every day. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting. I like that, and I like the Twitter segment also.
Yeah, well, you blew my fucking ears out with that sounder. It came from the Twitter. I'm like, what the fuck?
Got your attention, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
That fucking clown, that still creeps me out.
I hate fucking clowns.
You know, it's gone so far now is that the person that played that role has even come out and said, look, I'm not the one doing it.
Right.
I'm like, man, really?
I don't know. I'm just a private guy. I like to stay at home, relax. I don't want all that attention. You just got some attention-seeking motherfuckers. You can't help it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll get out of here. Thanks for having me on, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
Thank you, man. Take care.
All right, later. Bye.
Okay, so the Trade Dog and I have a debate about TNA, and we are on our 2.5 hour mark. That's never happened before. Guys, thank you all for listening. Trey Dog, thank you. Ashley, thank you. Everyone who called in, thank you so much. L-Train, Anthony. Make sure you check out all the shows on the SNS Radio Network. We just mentioned Monday night. The Doghouse should be archived for your listening pleasure. Running the Ropes is archived. The whole indie show is archived. This weekend, of course, the Elite Force podcast with Mind Wipe and Walkie. And also, check out Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. Some network reminders. Tuesday, there will not be a Unplugged. JJ's on a well-deserved vacation with Harmony. So we're going to take the week off. Midweek Elite Force podcast. I believe Running the Ropes is going to be Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. If I have that wrong, guys, I'm sorry. It's been a very long night. Of course, I'll be back next week, Friday, with Get in the Zone at 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain. And before I sign off, I didn't want to get too far into this news story, but go on the internet. Go on the Facebook page and check out what Tammy Lynn Sitch, otherwise known as Sunny, has been up to. She had some remarks on her Facebook page that kind of pissed me off. So as I sign off, Tammy, this song's for you. This has been Get in the Zone right here on the SNS Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Yo, man, what you need?
Yo, man, I need something, man. I need a 20, man.
What you got, man?
I got this rope chain, man.
And this shit look like that gold on the road shit on the swap
meet. It's real, man.
This shit ain't real, man. Be cool, man. Fuck out of here and come back with some money, man.
Come on, man. Be cool, man.
Y'all Mexicans always come with this shit.
and your girl kneeled down and sucked my dick. It all happened and the guy tried to choke her. Nigga didn't care, she ain't nothing but a smoker. That's the way it goes, that's the name of the game. Young brother getting over by slanging cane.
Yourself.
Well, I-